friends. In our new series, Ask the Experts, I have two people here that really do know a lot. They are the Frugal Friends. They have a book called Buy What You Love Without Going Broke. I want you to welcome Jen Smith and Jill Sirianni. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So what the heck are the Frugal Friends?
So Frugal Friends is primarily a podcast where we help people not just save money, but also spend intentionally, spend wisely. Because for so long, frugality has been a spending race to the bottom. How can I get everything I want as cheaply as possible, but not really taking into regard that what cost, like what does it cost the environment, other people, myself? So we wanted to help people learn how to spend money wisely and spend money guilt-free on the things that they value. And so that's really what the ethos of Frugal Friends is, and why we love talking about frugality all the time.
So before we get into the meat of Frugal Friends and some of the tips and how people can listen to you, tell us a little bit about your backstory, how you became friends, your education, and how you got to this place.
This is so fun. I enjoy telling this story almost more than I enjoy talking about how my husband and I met. So, however, Jen actually met my husband before I did, about 10 years prior to our meeting out in California. They were working with a similar nonprofit, met at a party, became Facebook friends, as one does, and then never talked again. And then fast forward another 10 years, my husband and I were living in an RV to save on housing costs and be able to pay down student loan debt, and decided to take a 3-week trip. And on part of that trip, go down to St. Petersburg. We're originally from the Philadelphia area. And when we were in St. Petersburg, my husband put out a call on Facebook. Does anybody want to hang out tonight? You know, my wife and I are in town for a couple of days, thinking that people he had toured with in the music industry who now live in St. Pete might see it and say, yeah, let's get together. No one did. Silence. But it popped up on Jen's feed because she lives in St. Pete, and she saw it and remembered, oh yeah, I think I met him out in California at this party. I remembered he was a decent guy, and I feel bad for them because no one is responding to his message about hanging out. And she said, actually, yeah, my friends and I are getting together at Jimmy B's, taking shots at sunset. I remembered it being champagne toasts at sunset. That was not
the case. If you've been to Jimmy B's, you know it was not champagne.
I remember it more elevated than it actually was. Yeah.
It was some like tropicals, like mostly fruit juice and probably a little bit of rum or vodka or something.
Anyways, it sounded fun. So we're like, sure, let's go. And met up and became just fast friends. She and her husband were in the process of paying down $78,000 of debt. My husband and I were living in an RV, which is non-traditional kind of housing decision to pay down debt. And we were able to connect over something that is typically taboo to talk about, stigmatized. People aren't really sharing about having goals of paying down debt or kind of how they're going about it. And so having that safe space to kind of talk about these shared financial goals and doing activities together that were free during those couple of days that we were in town was so, so fun. So we ended up becoming friends, visiting each other in each location that we lived, and a year after meeting, starting the podcast, realizing we really want to create space for others to feel comfortable talking about these topics where they don't feel ashamed asking the quote unquote silly questions about all the acronyms there are in personal finance. And turns out people really enjoyed it. So here we are 7 years later.
7 years.
Yep.
You don't have the 7-year itch. No, you do, because yes. Now you're doing video right?
So we do have a little bit of a 7-year itch. We've gone through some like transformations where we used to just talk about how to save money, because we were both still like, I had just finished paying off debt and she was still paying off debt. And now that we're both debt free, at least with student loans, we've kind of taken this like, how do we go from, it's so hot and cold. It's either you focus on earning so much money so you don't have to think about your spending, or you just focus on how can I spend as little as possible, like eat beans and rice, all of that. Those are kind of the two camps in personal finance. It's very hard to find the middle. It's becoming more, it's easier, But we really wanted to pioneer like that radical middle mentality in personal finance where, yes, it's good to pick and choose the things that work for you from each of these experts, like live stories and what they're saying. But ultimately, it's what works best for you.
I feel like your stuff is very common sense. Very common sense and multi-generational, even though you're one generation. Tell us a little bit about how the podcast works, some people that you've interviewed, some topics you've done, and you're on iHeartMedia, right?
Yes, we are. So we have almost 500 episodes at this point, and we love to talk about a variety of topics. So like how to save money on utilities or electricity, but also, you know, we just recorded an episode today about what you should know about credit card debt, what banks are using your interest like payments for and stuff like that. And then also like the psychology behind spending. So the cognitive biases that are naturally in our brains, how can we identify them, not work against our brains, but work with them to make better spending decisions and ultimately better decisions all around. So we love to cover a variety of topics. And then we love to interview people that know things about things that we don't know as much about. So whether that's a financial advisor who's talking about specific types of investing, whether it's real estate or like investing on a low income, we just interviewed my friend Kevin, who transports himself primarily via e-bike. Well, cargo bike now, because now he has two young children and they
in
live
Minnesota.
In Minnesota. They do not have a second car as a family. They have a car and a cargo bike. And so he was talking all about, if you're trying to save money on transportation, this is what to consider. You could get a cargo bike for $7,000 versus a car for $20,000. You can save all this money. This is how you study bike infrastructure to get around. This is, what you do when it rains, when it snows, when it's hot. So like how to save money on transportation and find out if maybe an e-bike or cargo bike is a good move.
So I feel like it's almost like you've given yourselves MBAs in personal finance. Tell us a little bit about the websites, podcasters, information that you look to that you consider good sources in addition to listening to your podcast. And we'll get in a minute to where you can do that. Tell us a little bit about the sourcing and the amount of research that goes into this.
Yeah. So the way that we structure our podcasts currently is to look to the internet to see what would you find if you were searching some of these common phrases like, how do I save money on food? How do I pay down debt? What will Google spit out to you? So we always go to the first page of Google to see what kinds of answers would the common person find. And we'll go through usually 1 to 2 articles, but we'll also inject our own understanding and kind of experience and our own more researched understanding of these different topics as we go through the articles, because sometimes it's not the best information. It's not the most helpful, beneficial
ideas.
Very often
it's not.
Yeah. And so being able to kind of incorporate what we've come to know as best practices, but also being able to give room for individuality. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in the state of Florida. So for me, being able to weave in some of my mental health expertise for Jen, she is, I'd consider her a financial journalist. So all of her years of writing about these various topics and taking in-depth approaches to the statistics on the various things that we'll talk about. So it's a blend of our own background experiences, people that we've interviewed, as well as turning to the internet and helping people to kind of sift through what is Google spitting out to you that's helpful and where do we kind of need to dig deeper?
Yeah, I wrote various personal finance websites like Investopedia, The Balance, AARP. So I've written all over the internet and did a year of like just focusing on retirement and telling people stories who've retired early, how they got there. So I have like taken, I've studied a lot of data too behind this stuff. So like being able to suss out like what is a reliable survey to use as data? Like what are the medians versus the averages? And really looking at how can we also give people perspective of, yeah, we want them to know that they're not alone and this is how not alone they are. This is what the average or the median is in this country and around the world. So I really love to look at numbers and to tell people's stories.
And for us, we really prioritize even interviewing people who have done the thing, and we can find ourselves in the stories of those people. I think a lot of times within the personal finance space, before podcasting was so big or blogs were so big, you had a handful of people all kind of looking the same, saying some of the same things about here's how you go about personal finance. But to bring in some voices that might look a little bit more like us, who have stories a little bit more like us, like, okay, I don't really care about the single wealthy white dude who was able to pay off six figures of debt. I want to know about the divorced single mom who was able to pay off her debt in X amount of years. And so really having an opportunity to let those voices shine and allow our listeners to hear themselves in some of these stories and know that there's a pathway for them too.
I love that you're data-driven, and that's a big thing. How has AI helped you sort through the trusted information, the not trusted information, and what's your take on what people, when they're Googling, should and shouldn't do on financial information?
Yeah. So something I would use AI for is to kind of give more layman's terms to more like education, things that are written for people in education. So I'll look at scientific studies, and I'm not a researcher in like that. I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know what's going on when I'm looking at that abstract or whatever. So I'll copy and paste it into ChatGPT and be like, explain the outcome of this survey or this this research to me so I can understand it. So that's a really good thing to use AI for. What AI is not good for is if I'm putting in like, how do I save money on my electric next month? I've tried that. It gives horrible advice, and it gives the same regurgitated advice that's all over Google as well. Like, buy energy efficient appliances. Well, if you dig in more, your appliances aren't what's causing most of your heating and cool, or your electric bill. It's your heating and cooling. So really, that's where it's 50% of your entire electric bill is right there. Why don't we look primarily at that? Because your refrigerator is using like 6%. So you go out and spend $2,000 on a new fridge, it's going to be a really long time before you recoup that cost. So you just have to look. And so like, that's one of the data points that I was looking at. I just wrote that outline like this week, so that's why it's fresh on my mind. But so that's, AI is really good when you're looking at data too. You can kind of ask it to, you know, further explain it to me like I'm five, sort of thing. And then at Google, you're looking at, so search engine optimization for years is what people wrote for. So it was just a lot of fluff. You needed to have at least 2,000 words, even if the topic didn't require 2,000 words. So it's just been a lot of fluff. So like, you're searching how to make money on X, and you're going to get one or two good answers and then 18 just fluffy answers to like bulk up the article. Like, do surveys, deliver food for Uber, stuff like that. Just really fluffy, not necessarily bad or inaccurate, but not what's most efficient. So I would say take Google with a grain of salt, especially now because it's using so much more AI and it's diverting to Reddit, Quora, all these user-generated forums for information that are not vetted. So really the things are less and less reliable.
So let's talk a little bit about where people can hear you. I think that's just amazing. And it's true that Reddit and Quora all of a sudden are popping up. And trusted people come to you. Tell us a little bit about your listenership and where they can find you. And you have an event coming up for the book, Buy What You Love Without Going Broke at Book and Bottle.
Yeah, our listeners are primarily female, although we've got a strong and mighty group of male supporters as well.
We love our frugal male friends.
Yes. And generally, their goals are to pay down debt, save for some financial goals, understand retirement investing a little bit more. Overall, just get a good handle on their spending and feel confident with their money. And usually kind of middle income earners, but ranging in age. We have listeners from 25 to 65 is kind of the majority of our listener base. So everyone we've realized can kind of find something in the array of topics that we're able to cover. We put out episodes episodes 2 times a week, Tuesdays and Fridays. We're also just launching our YouTube channel where we're doing Sunday resets, being able to talk about a money move we made that week, the meal plans that worked for us the past week, and a listener question. And hopefully being able to take some deeper dives into some listener spending in a video series where we do kind of a spending intervention with people. So lots coming up, which is super exciting.
Yeah. And the website is?
FrugalFriendsPodcast.com.
Yeah, and we're very excited to be the chosen book for March's Ladies Leadership Book Club. So we will be there March 30th, I believe it's at 10 a.m. at Book and Bottle, and we'll be talking about our book, Buy What You Love Without Going Broke.
So it is Women's History Month, and it is also International Women's Day on March 8th. So I want to ask both of you, women alive or who have entered the stars, who has been an influence on you, and or what woman in history, current or living, means a lot to you and has inspired you?
My grandmother. And I'm going to try to not cry. She is still with us. She has Alzheimer's, which has been a very, very sad experience to kind of watch her go through that in the ways that she is just so different than she used to be. My husband and I actually lived with her for a year to keep her in her home for as long as possible. They do say that for outcomes, it's better to keep people diagnosed with Alzheimer's in their home as long as possible, until it just was no longer possible. But she has been just an integral part of my life. And I think even understanding on how to be resourceful and how to steward all of our resources well, not just finances, but time and relationships and physical spaces. And for her, she's an old Polish woman. And so learning how to make gwomki and pierogies and the value of just a good wooden spoon and the thrift store and all of these things have been instilled in me from how I call her my Gimba.
Love that. Thank you so much for sharing that.
This is going to be like a very, you know, gag me answer, but honestly, Jill has been such an inspiration to me. I am constant, like, there are obviously women that I don't know that are inspirational, right? But, like, I just get to see Jill every day and see how she interacts with, like, real life examples of things and the authenticity and just how, like, gracious she is. Like, there are so few people that could be like in a business as close together as we are for 7 years, and I think like part of it is just due to the like the kind of leader and friend and person that Jill is. So
this is sorry. Too much for me. Yeah, this is, I'm not itchy. 7 years, there's no itch. Right back at you.
If you just tuned into Radio St. Pete with me, your host, Annette Weiser, I have been sitting here with JSJS, that is Jen Smith and Jill Sirianni. They have this beautiful little office in Thrive DTSP with this Instagram wall that says Frugal Friends. And they are so inspiring. You know, and today the trend is to not spend. But I think that we all need to listen to what they have to say, because JSJS, they have not just a book, not just a podcast, not just a YouTube show, but I see them going on Kelly Clarkson this year.
Yes, name and claim
Kelly,
it.
Okay.
Ladies, before I sign off, remember to go to Book and Bottle, our friends, on March 30th for the Ladies Book Club. I'll be there because I can't wait. I've read the book. I love the book. Parting words for our frugal friends of Radio St. Pete from our frugal friends, please.
Be kind to yourself. There's a lot of shame and guilting around personal finance and the shoulds and should nots. But if we can have a banner of kindness and curiosity about ourselves, it will go much better for us in feeling confident about our money.
Mm-hmm. And valuing small steps. Just because you may not be able to save $10,000 this year does not make what you do save nothing. If you can do $30 a month, $50 a month, whatever you can do to get yourself closer to your financial goals, that is progress, that is worthy, and that is success.
So for Ask the Expert, I want to thank the Frugal Friends for being here. We'll see you again on Radio St. Pete.